how the hour goes, I have a couple different things we can go over, and I would love to open it up to people who got a song they want, you know, that they'd love to sing for us, if you do that kind of thing, or what have you. We'll see how it goes. But at first I'd like to ask, does anybody watch American Idol?
A tiny little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Do anybody do a lot of like video watching at all? No, just
movies.
You
mean movies?
Or
YouTube.
Oh, like YouTube.
You surf in the net?
No.
YouTube? All right. Yeah. Well, or if you go to concerts, popular singers.
Yeah.
Anybody been? You know, the ones
sure.
I can think of recently that have big followings would be like Michael Bublé and
mm-hmm.
people
yep.
like that.
White ones.
Love Wainwright III.
Yeah. Well, is there anything you notice about their performances that is different maybe than a choir you may have heard or sung in, or any sort of classical singing that you may have done or sung?
Seems less structured.
Less structured. Like there are fewer rules?
Yeah.
Yes.
A lot more energy.
A lot more energy. Depend-
like on the stage.
Yeah, sure.
That's
and
where I'm seeing it.
Well, and it's coupled with lights and,
right.
you know, all kinds of other ways to make the show exciting.
But they move around more.
Also, unbelievable focus because if you're a single performer, you're it.
Yeah.
Eyes are just
yes.
Yeah. Like even if Michael Bublé had any sort of backup somebody, he's carrying the whole
mm-hmm.
thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Along with the musical accompaniment, right, that helps draw attention to the tune. What I want you when you leave here, I think it would be great if you paid attention now to just what the performer is doing with their body,
mm-hmm.
not just the entertainment experience, just for your own, you know, curiosity, and if you're going to go experiment or you already do, you know, some sort of coffee house singing or something like that. Because more often than not, in popular singing song styles versus classical, you're going to see a much squarer jaw or mouth. Right?
Mm-hmm.
How many people sang on Sunday in Ron's little group? Right? What did he ask us to do at that one point?
Long vowels,
right?
Tall vowels.
And I talked about consistency of the vowel being this way, right? On Monday or Tuesday when we did E and all, you know, I was talking about consistency from the bottom of your range to the top. But it all had to do with this sort of orientation. Popular styles are much more horizontal. And the reason is actually scientific.
Excuse me. Let me go to this board.
There, when it comes to changing the color of a sound, okay,
mm-hmm.
you're really dealing with how that sound is shaped by the resonators in your head. Is this tilting back too
yeah.
far now?
No.
Okay. So, here's my Jay Leno head, because for some reason, that's the only way I can draw a profile picture. But,
That's pretty good, though.
Yeah.
You can do Jay Leno characters all day
for
long.
For so many
look
years
that
I've taught, I've tried. I've really tried to not make it look like him, but it always does.
Hitchcock also comes to mind.
Hitchcock with a big chin.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, so when we're talking about resonators, it's sometimes we have subglottal resonators, so that means below the larynx, so your chest, so everybody just say, meow,
meow,
feel the buzz, right, you could also put your hand right on your larynx, meow, go for it,
meow,
feel the buzz, right, the buzz is resonance, all that stuff, all the air molecules vibrating, so you got it from down here on through your larynx, and then your mouth cavity, and there's your hard palate, soft palate kind of thing, okay? In classical singing, we're maximizing this orientation, but in especially musical theater, anytime there's a belt involved, that louder sound without a lot of color on the around it, right? A classical sound is mean. It's kind of more colorful than me. Oops. Me. I more horizontal and square. Almost like everybody, pretend you have like a double cheeseburger with tons of stuff. If you're not a vegetarian, maybe it's a portobello burger or something like that if you're a vegetarian. But can you do this? And then pretend you're taking a big bite. Right. Mm-hmm. You see how you have to open up big in the back? So it's a question of dropping the hinge that's right in front of your ear. Of really just letting that be free.
For which style?
For any popular style.
For any popular style.
Yeah. Anytime you need a big honking, belting kind of sound on the top.
Right.
Get out of the way. Now, my little sheet go. So that's sort of how the air has to work, right? Now the same principles that apply to classical from here down are the same. I can't talk today. I'm sorry.
You're doing great.
You have the same principles about air and support in these styles as you would in classical, which is what? Do you remember? Yeah, using grounding yourself in those ab muscles or making sure you have a center of energy and that the tension stays out of the upper body as much as possible. There are times when you're going to see really awesome performers, right? Like getting tense in their throats and stuff. But hopefully they understand, you know, they're still trying to stay relaxed inside and they're maximizing resonance this way rather than forcing the vocal folds to do all the work. That's the difference between like the healthy popular stuff and the popular singing that can get you in trouble. Is that an absence of major tensions around the larynx?
Is that why you refer to American Idol, because they sort of unlang, or?
Yeah, I think the people that know what they're doing, or I mean, sometimes it's instinctual. Like you would, I'm sure you see that all the time in high school teaching, right? And sometimes kids can just do it, and that's the same for classical. There are some singers that come to college and they've had no training except for choir, and they just get the classical sound, right? But what I think is my job as a teacher, or what a choir director's job is as a teacher, is to make sure they know what they're doing so they can do what they want to do, no matter what style it is, for as long as possible, right? So use your air and the resonance understanding and not tension and grounding yourself. And then who said there's a lot of variety earlier when we were talking about flexibility, what? It's less structured. That's what you said. So like a third principle that I think is important in popular styles is to remember to go for variety in your sound, in the colors of your sound, and even in resonance qualities. If you think back to what you've heard of Monique saying, do you remember, I think anybody come to John's session when she sang in here? Okay, well, did you hear at Vespers then? Mm-hmm. Right, so she was able to go to higher notes and lower notes, like really lower notes. Mm-hmm. And she's playing with colors. She's using a lot of variety in that presentation. And that is true to that style of gospel singing, right? Or sacred singing. That there's a lot of flexibility there. So let's do a little exercise with that. Can you all sing, well, let's do this. We've got an old tune, older. It's kind of maybe a little tough to read, but I wanted to save paper. I'll be seeing you. Will you play it through? Can one of you guys share it?
Yeah, well,
sing the chorus, probably. about this particular tune, you wouldn't transpose that. You could transpose it in a recital or a coffee house, right? But the show wouldn't get transposed, right?
Not necessarily today. When you license this Broadway show,
right?
Many of the licensing agents will provide transpositions for you on
request. Awesome.
It's a new trend.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ron does a lot with musical theater production. So he's goes off.
We just did a musical at Circa, a brand new one, and the actress who was doing the lead couldn't maneuver into the key that the composer wrote it in, so we had to get his permission to change the key.
Yeah.
And he said yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there you have it. But in this case, we're working with it, right? I'm not going to make Ron transpose it down a few steps. And
No.
We'll be all right.
All right.
So that's your regular voice, right?
Mm-hmm.
The group sounded pretty clear. Let's try a breathy sound. Can you sing it, you know, with energy, but can you make it breathy? A little bit, right? They call it speech singing. Mm-hmm. That's common in a lot of popular styles. So yeah, breathiness takes a lot of energy, and it feels to me like I get caught up here a little bit more. Mm-hmm. So, but it's a technique you can use in certain styles, right? Especially jazz, to liven things up or make your emotional point and all that kind of stuff. All right, what about, let's make it really snarly. I want you to focus. Remember, I don't know if you guys were here when I did the nair-nair exercise.
Yeah.
Nair-nair-nair. Everybody say nair-nair-nair. Now I want you to sing it like that. If you have to make the face, it's going to be, I'll be seeing you. Are we good? Here we go. Higher pitch. Does that make sense? It's odd. It's really odd, but that's what you will see in popular performers, right? You will see big, wide mouth and not a shape like the vowel that you hear. Okay? So that's, I think, a key thing if you're studying certain genres or, you know, experimenting to try that kind of thing. Okay, now let's try to do the same verse with a really full sound. Pay attention to what you do in your body to try to make it nice and full and big. Okay, here we go. So that they can jump off into these other tones, colors, and still come back and not be flat, right? And still have it be understood and be able to be emotional. So I would experiment with that kind of stuff in different songs if I was trying to feel even more secure in my delivery. All right, so let's try some of the speech singing and making use of kind of opening up to these vowels. All right, you can stand up. I don't know why. I just think it helps us be more energized and centered, right? Can you say the phrase "payday today"? Can you just sing it? Sort of feel, I guess, for me, an easy speaky or speech singing range would be "payday today." Payday today. Can you just pretend you're saying it but on pitches? Ready?
Payday today. Payday today.
Keep breathing.
Payday today.
Now start making it wide.
Payday today. Payday today.
Nice and speak here.
Payday today.
Keep going.
Payday today.
Keep going. Something, you know, you'll probably find if you're having trouble on a high note on some song that you were playing, if you look in the mirror, that tongue is pulling back. So you want to do things like get it out that way.
Yeah.
You can just, yeah, forward.
Not out of your mouth.
Huh?
In the mouth.
In the mouth, not.
Right.
But the idea is that the tongue is really this huge muscle. I mean, it's like, it's big, and it attaches very far down here. So if the tongue is tight, you start to get lots of tension right in here, which then gets transferred, pulls the larynx up too sometimes. Mm-hmm. That's the other principle to keep in mind.
So the farther back your tongue is, the more pressure there is.
Yes.
The farther forward, if it's touching your teeth, that's as relaxed as you can get it. Is that?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Oh, try this. Try tensing your tongue by pushing forward on your bottom teeth. Just feel that pressure.
Mm-hmm.
You feel it here too.
Yeah.
So it's possible to like be forward and push and have too much tension too. But the idea is that you understand that that is not, if you just let your tongue hang, right? Then you sort of experience the extremes, and then you find a place in the middle that's really comfortable and you find success singing that way. The larynx raising. All right. The larynx is supposed to float in your throat. Here are your vocal folds. Okay? It's suspended by muscles and ligaments, right? And it's just this little cartilage tube that helps you phonate and make sounds. And if it starts to get tense around there, right, sometimes it starts to raise, which some people believe there is. I'm not an expert, but I do know that there is research out there about the need for some of that raising of the larynx in order to get the resonance qualities that I showed in that picture, right? Like that raising of the larynx coupled with big space too, can, or the shape of this part of your system can help with a belty tone, which you hear a lot in more contemporary musical theater and rock and roll, right? Now, for men, okay, it's kind of unfair. men, there is a link between the belty sound of rock and roll, like, I'll play an example in a second, but there is a belty a connection there with the classical operatic high voice. It's just this portion of the pitch spectrum, right, where there's a certain lineup of all these sound or pitch frequencies, right, or overtones that is similar in both styles.
Is it like Aerosmith then?
Yeah.
Speaking
yeah,
of
like Aerosmith, like, and even have you heard, ever seen Jesus Christ Superstar?
Yeah.
What's the song that Jesus sings in the Garden of Gethsemane?
That's
some like high C or something
It's a high B flat.
Yeah. I mean, if you were to just straight belt that with the larynx raised, you'd like kill yourself doing that over and over and over again, like if you were in a show, you know? But because of this like this connection to opera, there's a way to do it without like being tense. Does that make sense? It's like all manipulation of sound waves. So that's an extreme or an interesting example of, I think, that kind of crossover.
I always thought it was interesting that men can sing so high in those, like, sweet, was that? Yeah, sweet. I don't know, but there are, lots of high-pitched.
Yeah, a lot of high-pitched guys.
How do they?
Yeah.
Everything's high.
Well, if you listen to, I'm not sure if Jason Mraz
is high.
Yeah, he has a higher, light speaking voice here. Listen to a little of it. I don't know if he goes up into that lighter head voice or what's called falsetto sometimes. Like the Bee Gees She sang it falsetto all the time. Aaron Neville. I don't get it.
Good Vibrations, the Beach Boys.
Yeah.
That
good. Yeah. So it's that. I guess you know, in more than one way, it's not fair to be a girl in popular music.
Yeah, a lot of the girls have lower sound.
Yes. It's because of the speechy quality, right? If you're gonna have, if your genre calls for a speechy quality, it's easier to do that in your in the lower parts of the range, right? I'm not sure why so many rock songs sit up higher, but it's probably because you can get this bigger, more emotional sound, right? And do it in an okay way.
Right.
What's your theory?
Well, on high versus low for men, women,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it has to do with the recording industry, because when you use a microphone and a woman sings high, it sounds shrill.
Shrill.
Yeah.
But when you sing low, a woman sings low, it's sexy and cool.
Yeah.
And when a man sings low in a microphone, it sounds muddy.
Mm-hmm.
But when a man sings high, oh, that sounds pretty cool. And I think it's all about electronics. And the other thing, back to your thought about how the men can go up really.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it has partly to do with the first day you talked about conversational energy,
mm-hmm.
declamatory energy.
Mm-hmm.
I can go, I'm not a tenor, but I can go up there if I just go back into my conversational energy and just take the weight off the voice and let it go. So
and that's why the microphone works.
And the and then you just rely on the microphone. The microphone is your friend.
Right.
Yeah, why is everyone yelling? Here's a song I sing. How the world can change. It can change like that. Do you want a little word there? Somebody wonderful Mary. And you can hold that forever because you got all this breath down
yeah.
here. But I'm not putting any projection.
Right.
Me! I couldn't do it.
And, you know, there are plenty of people that float high notes too. Females, I mean.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's not as connected sounding as that. Like, I have such a hard time listening to... some performers, because they are switching between that heavier chest voice mechanism and head
mm-hmm.
voice all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't, it's not appealing to me anymore.
It's
even though for some things it could be, Sarah McLachlan. Anybody recognize her? Yeah, I like her, but there are some times when it's not smooth. All these transitions are so disjunct to my ears. Right, but that's maybe because I teach voice for a living.
I
like the new Nally Merchant album.
The what? Nally Merchant? The newest one? I have not heard it yet. But I wouldn't be surprised if she does the same thing.
Well, what about somebody like Mariah Carey?
I can't stop.
Boy, you hit the button on that one.
Mariah Carey.
It's a showing off almost more than a singing style.
How do you really feel?
But she has incredible
I can't stand her.
Okay, so this is where she got known for disability.
Yeah.
Yeah, they would monitor it all the time.
Well, you see people closer in my way.
Make that note that even with everything else.
There are sources. There are courses on practicing mic technique.
When you get to this level,
I mean that should be piercing our ears. This is only like self-synthesizers, so
yeah.
They sweeten
it,
don't they?
I can't hear you.
They sweeten it, though, don't they?
They sometimes do, yeah.
Because there's no way she can see.
We have to hear the end of it.
One of the greatest areas booming for musicians is sound design. Being able to maneuver for artists how to manipulate all the frequencies, and they can even make bad notes sound good.
Yeah.
You know, by the way they manipulate.
Oh well, I'll tell you a story in a second. That's in what's called the whistle register. You hear how it sounds like a whistle? There's the vocal folds, they think, create a vocal chink. So like the back of them are together and it's an even smaller part of the fold that's actually vibrating with a little chink, like a little opening in there. So they think that's what happens in women's voices.
So how does Cleo win?
singing athlete. You have to exercise the muscle. So, like, this is not exercising the vocalis muscle. That's the one in the vocal folds.
Right.
You have to actually sing to increase your like stability as a singer, right? So exercises, just any sort of exercise. You can sing notes together. Me is like the most common, easy exercise. Mm-hmm. For guys, if you're experimenting with the high stuff, for singing rock and roll.
Rock and roll.
You want to go five notes down. You just want to do me, na, 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 because you won't carry as much weight from the bottom of the voice, that chest voice stuff, into that top note if you're starting up there. If you start down low, you have a tendency or a likelihood of carrying too much heft. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you just have to sing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I see this with older people, too, because they probably don't speak as much, or I don't know what it is, but yeah, start.
Their voices change.
And even then, I wonder if there isn't a way to exercise that back, too, so you can make it
right.
Sound more fluid.
That was Monday's talk. A little
Darn
bit.
It.
But...
And it was good. Can you thumbnails change?
Yeah, thumbnail would be bodies change,
mm-hmm.
right? There is only so much we can do to preserve
mm-hmm.
previous ability,
mm-hmm.
but you can try to make current ability the best it can be, right?
Yeah.
So more than likely you're working with breathing exercises so that your muscles help you get enough breath energy going so the tone can be more stable. So, like if an older person were to sit here like this and
mm-hmm.
try to sing, it would be very difficult to have enough solid breath energy to do it, simply because they're not in an efficient position. Now, a younger person could probably be on stage in this position and sing because the muscles are like readier to go.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Toned.
Yes, toned. So again, it's back to exercise. Or use it or lose it. That's absolutely
mm-hmm.
the principle, no matter what age you're at. Or what style, I think, too.
I remember seeing Celine Dion sing. The way, just her, she has a very, very flat larynx, I think, or looked like it. You know, some people have this very, and it seemed to not even move almost. I thought, I wonder if that's why she's this
that's
amazing gift.
Yes, because she's not tense most of the time.
Maybe that's it.
Yeah.
It's just an unbelievable voice. Yeah,
yeah, that seems like the hardest part, singing from my diaphragm.
Yeah.
I think
just getting coordinated.
Yeah, getting
that's,
coordinated to do
that,
that
is,
part.
That
like
is,
that's the biggest thing to prolong your singing career, is to be able to not be tense.
Yeah.
And that's
it's all about efficiency.
It
yeah.
all comes from there, it seems like.
It's one of the toughest things to teach a very beginning singer, like especially
like me.
High school. Or any age, really, but yeah, a beginning singer is the sort of
yeah.
backwards orientation to where your muscles are supposed to be
yeah.
in or out,
right?
Out when you breathe in and pull in when you're singing, right? That sometimes people just have to isolate muscles.
Yeah.
And we use all kinds of tricks. The first voice lesson I had as a high schooler, I was piano person before that, and this teacher, nothing was making sense in terms of getting your breathing down right and the diaphragm. She made me take a coffee can this big, stick it in my stomach, and lean into the piano so that I would have to push myself away by taking a breath in and expanding down here. So it was just an interesting technique, you know, to figure that out.
I ask my students when they come in just to play with their brains, I say, are you in an upper or a down and outer? What? Are you an in an upper or a down and outer? And I don't let them think about that for a while. I like take attendance. But a lot of them think that they have
down
to breathe to go in
yeah.
and up. They have to raise, you know, fill the lungs. Oh, I got to take a big breath. And that's probably the worst thing you can do.
Right.
But if you're
yeah.
down and outer,
right.
down
yeah.
and out. It's kind of fun.
I
and they laugh at me.
I think what you'll notice in people that like are instinctual and they have long about singing or performing and they have long careers is that they're really free on stage, you know, that they just let it out,
yeah.
you know. And part of our deal as like amateurs in these styles is that we don't necessarily give ourselves that freedom to just blend it all out because we want it to be correct. That's my problem in trying these styles for sure. Like, because I'm classically trained and I really have to push myself. Like, I have performed jazz once in public. But I really have to push myself to let all of that other stuff go, the classical choral background I have, and try different sounds.
I just got that set of Ella singing 12 Nights in Hollywood that she did. Have you heard that album?
No.
It is absolutely, it's not the, one.
Ella
it's
Fitzgerald.
Like, yeah. It's like, it's either four or five discs. And they just recorded 12 nights that she did at a small club in Hollywood and just just released it. And it is totally amazing that anybody could do that in 12 nights. And it didn't sound anything like that. I mean, it's like...
yeah. Jazz is...
On this, I couldn't tell. I would have thought that that was a piccolo or a whistle or something.
Yeah,
it never would have occurred to me when it was a person's voice. Because there seems like there's so many tricks in modern music.
Oh, that was the story, speaking of tricks. So, one of my secrets is that I will stay up and for my me time at night after the kids are asleep or something, I'll watch like those stupid, pointless shows on Bravo, like The Real Housewives of New York City. It's terrible. I think because their behavior is so crazy, and I just think, how do people do this, you know, that I'm just drawn into, like, observing it all? That's my excuse. Anyway. Like, that, this last season of that and the Real Housewives of Atlanta had each a housewife record a single, right? And they totally manipulated it. They used special effects to drown out the out-of-tune sections. Right? And make it sound better. It was all electric.
They can fix just about anything.
But the problem is, if you ever had to perform it on stage, it would just be a disaster.
Yeah.
No, you can't.
It'd be Milli Vanilli.
Right.
I think.
Don't laugh.
Cher.
Don't laugh.
What?
You know.
Yeah.
The Spears sister.
Yeah. Nicole or.
Jamie. No, not Spears.
Yeah, I remember that.
Jessica Simpson's sister, Ashley.
Yeah, Ashley.
Who
Ashley
got caught on Saturday Night Live a couple years ago, lip-syncing, because, you know, habits
because
are bad.
Because they played the wrong song?
or because she was hoarse, right, and to save her voice, they chose to do that.
Mm-hmm. It's more common than you know.
Mm-hmm. Any other observations about popular music or questions?
How did you get started? So you said you were taking lessons in high school?
Well, yeah, I grew up in the Lutheran church, and, you know, we had a cherub choir, and, like, for the 3 to 5 year olds, and I sang in choral music my entire life until I went to, after college, and I became, in college I studied music and nursing, and then I knew that I had to do music, although I did work as a nurse for a little while, which, so this stuff about the body, you know, kind of, like, it's right up my alley, and I had a little background in that. And so I focused in grad school on pedagogy, or how to teach singing. And, I've done performing also, but I turned into a soloist mostly by the time I finished graduate school. So it's just sort of been a lifelong involvement in music, but definitely from a more traditional background. And I was in musical theater in high school, but, like, I still remember in the pajama game, I had some tiny little solo, right? And it was lower, and I totally switched from head to chest. Like, I couldn't make it work. Nobody was teaching me how to negotiate that, right? And now it's more common in training institutions, it's getting more common to have a teacher for musical theater and a teacher for classical, and so that we're putting out students who can go off and do whatever they need to do. But also it's common to not have musical theater specialists and be focused on choral music and classical solo stuff because of the because they're either going to be teachers or conductors or participants. So it's, you look at the listings for jobs in music and voice, and more often than not there is In addition to like a studio voice teacher, there's an opera or musical theater director requested, mm-hmm. or a musical theater specialist to teach. It's just more and more and more. So there are a lot of times you go to just private teachers for rock and roll and other things. Really, there are people all over the country that specialize in that.
When my high school students come and ask to take lessons, you know, to sing pop tunes or get ready for the musical, you know, they want to do it in a month, and they think they can just get it put together, you know. And I said, well, really, you need to do it all the time, and you need to find, I call it legitimate singing to the high school kids. I don't call it classical, because I think they would get turned off to that. Mm-hmm. I said, you need to get some really good skills, because if you can sing legitimate voice, you can sing anything. That's my sales pitch that I give them. Because then they learn what Sangeetha is saying, you know, the upper voice and makes it better. That's what they need to learn as a beginning singer.
Well, especially if they're not already good, right? They're not instinctual about it. Mm-hmm. Right? They may never be amazing by going about it this path, you know, with all the details, but at least they will have information. Make smart choices
and they gain more flexibility to do more things and stay healthier and then ultimately sing longer. Mm-hmm.
Right. There's a guy here who has been in a barbershop chorus for like 40 years.
Oh. He's from
your church?
Yep.
Yeah. That kind of stuff brings so much joy. You know, but that I had a man who sang in a barbershop quartet in my first voice class for aging singers, so the lower limit was 60. You had to be 60 or over to be in the class. Mm-hmm. And he was so used to this speaky, you know, da, 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 that kind of sound, that he had no concept of changing vowels this way so that he wouldn't get, you know, in hot water in the Oratorio Society when they're performing Handel's Messiah. Right? And something doesn't sound right in the bass section because somebody's like, ah! You see what I mean?
How do you think Ethel Merman developed her bizarre stuff?
Oh,
oh yeah.
And she's
that's
so easy to
stuff,
do,
yeah.
too. That's funny.
Yeah, I don't know the story there. I just know that wider sound is so typical out of vaudeville and into
that was before microphones,
theater.
Too.
Yeah, exactly. See, that sound carries.
And she
right?
didn't need one.
She didn't need one.
Right.
You know, and she could sing over
right.
that orchestra and a half.
Yeah. So, anyway. That's about it.
Thank you. That was very
interesting. You're welcome.
You're not doing it anymore. This is it.
No, I am going on a huge walk to Holden Lake today, and then I leave tomorrow.
So, where do you guys teach?
I teach at Augustana College in Rock Island, Illinois. And it's, you know, your typical Lutheran choral school.
Uh-huh.
That's where your dad went? Yeah. It's been a long tradition.
I graduated from Augie, but I teach in Moline, Illinois, which is right next, just a few miles away.
At a high school?
At a high school. Huh? Moline High School, yeah. Mm-hmm. And
I've
taught voice sometimes at Augie.
Yeah, you've done graduate work in voice and conducting, right?
Yeah, my master's is in vocal pedagogy and my doctoral work is in conducting.
Are community choirs becoming more popular?
I think so. We have one. Mm-hmm. They just pop up everywhere. Even choirs in nursing homes are popping up.
Yeah.
Or assisted living centers.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just a population shift.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Sorry.
I was gonna say, like, we live in Seattle, and people really want to sing, but the only opportunity to have to sing as an amateur is church, and so that's the whole thing about community choir, because
mm-hmm.
you can sing. In
where do you live in Seattle?
South Seattle.
Oh. Okay.
And you know, people want to sing, and it's.
He's north, and I'm mid.
You got it covered.
For a couple of years, I did a choir for a bank,
a large bank,
really?
In Macbeth. It's the Davenport Bank before.
Really?
Yeah. There was the Davenport Bank employee choir.
Oh,
a corporate
wow.
choir. Never heard of such a thing. But there were a lot of people like you that wanted to sing.
And Wells Fargo does that every year. They've got a huge choir that they put together from in the Minneapolis area.
Wow.
And they actually go around and do performances.
Yeah, we did too. Yeah, it was great. Great
wow.
fun.
We didn't know that. I was going to say that Harlan is one of the guests here.
Yeah.
You've all met him probably. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about coming here in the early 70s and how people sang all the time and how that tradition has kind of gone away. And people have been talking about it more as a little small petite buzz, you know, going around
yeah.
for people wanting to sing songs. And not always religious songs, just, you know, songs.
I heard somebody up in the chalets playing guitar and singing yesterday afternoon. I don't know if you would know this, but
we were singing, just a small group of us in
yeah.
the lodge. I don't know
yeah.
what it was
and
even.
Well, this person was, it was just like a person with a singer, a woman with a guitar inside one of the chalets up the hill.
Yep.
So kind of neat to hear. It was nice to hear while I'm sitting there knitting.
Well, we walked back from our long trek yesterday. We were lost once. And we heard some music coming from the dining hall. Sounded so great. You know?
Sound
music.
Oh yeah, he was doing the Beanie Sings.
Doing Beanie songs.
Oh, that's
yeah.
what Marvin was talking about.
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah. We'll do some more today.
Oh great. What time?
Yeah.
That was fun too.
Well, traditionally they're done at dinner.
Uh huh.
So whatever dinner is, it's hard to do it when we're having dinner outside.
Yeah.
But
a lot of people wanted to eat
We put up a little note yesterday. And it's kind of a last minute decision.
Oh, awesome. So I will be tonight.
I think so, yeah. We want to sing Jacuzzi, which is sung to Maria. Jacuzzi. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It's really funny. It's all parody songs for fun.
Of course.
Thank you.
Was it
the
Louis Nouvel
songs?
I'm
sorry?
Louis Nouvel.
He
was
the one.
Yeah.
He wrote a lot of
them. He's going to be here.
He's
going to
be here in a couple weeks.
That's what I heard.
He's going to be
here.
Are you
ready
for
summer?
Yes.
That's
what I heard.
Yeah.
She was in my voice.
She's
in
her high
school.
Yeah.
What's
she
doing?
She's in her high school.
She got married.